Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as we now read your word, and then as we hear it proclaimed, gracious God, allow your spirit to be at work in us. Allow your spirit to guide us into the truth, to be able to hear the truth, to be able to embrace the truth with a true and a lively faith. Work faith in us today, Father, and strengthen our faith through the preaching of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let us turn to Luke chapter 2, reading verses 1 through 20. Now, I can't remember, it wasn't Glenda that spoke to me about the service today. Shelley. And she said, she gave me some pointers as to what she was hoping I would preach on. So, not going to fulfill all of that, but we are going to be looking particularly at the shepherds today. So verses 15 through 20, but we are going to read from verse 1. So just bear in mind that it's the shepherds particularly, beginning with verse 15, that we are going to be looking at today. Hear the word of God. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we are still in the season of Advent, but Christmas is drawing very close now, only 2 days away. The celebration of the birth of our Savior. Christmas is a festive time. In our world, it's a time for family. It's a time for friends and get-togethers and good food and celebration for parties. Christmas in the world is a time for, well, we'll call them warm fuzzies, cozy, good feelings. But it's much more than that for God's people. The world, secular society, largely ignores Christ. Of course, it will pay still some homage to him in sentimental ways, perhaps, the child in the manger, the little Lord Jesus, asleep on the hay, the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. But the world does not respond to the coming of the Christ in faith and with faith, not like the shepherds did. I said that the passage I'm dealing with today is verses 15 and following. What's that passage about? Well, that passage is about how the shepherds responded to what they heard and what they saw. And we'll see four things. First, that they went to see. Second, that they searched and found. Well, it doesn't say that they searched, but it says they found, so that it kind of implies a search. Third, that they made known what they had heard and seen. And fourth, that they returned praising God. And the question that we'll be considering as we consider these points is, how do we respond? How do we respond to the coming, the birth of the Christ? So first of all, the shepherds went to see. And they went in faith. They went in faith. How do we know that? Well, they heard the good news. The shepherds heard the angel declare to them the good news of the birth of a Christ child. Today is born to you in the city of David a child who is Christ the Lord. So they heard that. And what's their response? They said, let's go see. Let's go. Let's see. They didn't say, I wonder if that's true. Probably not. They didn't say that. They accepted it as true what the angel told them. And so they embraced it. They believed it. And in that faith, in the certainty of that faith, in the certainty of the knowledge, the certainty of the word that they heard from the angel, they went expecting to find. The word is efficacious. That's what we believe as Christians, that the word of God does not return void, but accomplishes that which it is sent forth to accomplish. And the shepherds received this word particularly from this angel so that they might believe, that they might go, that they might find. The word works faith, and its desired response is action. The preaching of the word requires faith and obedience of faith. You know, there was no explicit command to the shepherds to go and find. The angel didn't say to the shepherds, go. But you will find implies, is an implicit kind of command, go. Go. Or perhaps not a command, an invitation, if you will, that indicates that God intended for the shepherds to respond with their feet to the word that they had heard, to go and find a baby. They have to, as it were, work with the word. And that's true for us as well. The proclamation of God's word demands a response from us. The response of faith, of believing, and in faith, acting, putting it into practice. It's a good part of what Paul means when in Philippians he says that we are to work out our own salvation. He doesn't mean save yourself. That's not what he means. He means put into practice the salvation that you have received. Work it out, develop it, put legs to it, put feet to it, put hands to it. Act. And that's what we see with the shepherds. Then the second thing, they found, and before they can find, of course, they would have had to search. The shepherds had to look for the baby in the manger. There was no star in the sky for them. Sometimes, you know, we compress the Christmas story. We compress and we see that all the time in manger scenes. Not this one, but you will frequently see the baby in the manger with the shepherds and the wise men gathered round. Well, the wise men didn't appear until probably 2 years later. And we read in the scriptures that when the wise men, the magi actually, found the little Lord Jesus, that Mary and Joseph were already living in a house. And they were no longer in the stable. So the star didn't appear for the shepherds the same way that it appeared for the wise men. So that there was no blazing sign saying that the baby is right here. Bethlehem was a village, but there were no arrows, no street signs or tourism signs with arrows saying, this way to the little Lord Jesus. They had to go to Bethlehem. And however they did it, they had to search, they had to find. And again, that shows us that they acted in faith, not knowing for sure how or where they would find the Lord Jesus, but knowing for sure that he was there because they went in faith. And so their faith kept them going. Their faith kept them searching until they found what it was that they were told they would find. And you know, sometimes we may wonder if our faith is a vain faith, because we do not always see right away the things that we find promised in God's word. Like, for example, the second coming. How long? How long do we have to wait? And there are saints that went before us. I mean, Hebrews chapter 11 gives a whole list of those who trusted in the promises of God without having actually seen the thing promised. But they went forward in faith. Their faith kept them going in spite of not having received in their own persons the things that God had promised. The shepherds demonstrate that as well. Now, in their case, they did come to find the Lord Jesus Christ. But the thing that I want to bring forward here is they kept at it. They didn't give up. They went blind in a certain sense. But they went in faith. That was their motivation. But when they found Mary and Joseph and Jesus, well, what a confirmation that would have been, right? A confirmation of what they had been told by the angel and a confirmation of what it is that they had believed. The angel had told them that this would be a sign for them. They would find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. That's pretty unusual. Mary didn't have a crib, I guess. Well, she wouldn't have. No port-a-crib in those days, the way that we have it today. So you make do with what you have. Signs point to something greater. It's like when you're driving down the road, coming down the 400 today. I knew I needed Rutherford Drive. And so I was looking for the signs just to be sure that I got off at the right place. I knew it was after Wonderland, but, you know. So it wasn't the sign I was looking for, you see. It was Rutherford Drive I was looking for. The sign just pointed the way. The sign was, and when I saw it, the sign was a confirmation of, yep, this is the exit that I need. Signs point to something greater, often to confirm something. And in spiritual terms, to make us stronger in our faith. When I got off the highway at the sign that said Rutherford Drive, I was confirmed that that was the right one. That was the exit that I needed. Well, that's how sacraments work as well. And the shepherds finding the little Lord Jesus with Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths, that wasn't a sacrament, but I would say it was, in the way that John Calvin would speak of it, sacramental. It wasn't a sacrament. We only have two sacraments. But it was sacramental in the sense that it was a confirmation of what they had believed for a strengthening of their faith. And that's how sacraments work. Faith comes by the preaching of the word. So the shepherds heard the good news proclaimed to them. And that faith was that strengthened by the sign. As our faith is strengthened in the sacraments, when we see them in the celebration of the Lord's Supper and in baptism. And so the shepherds heard the word and believed and saw the sign and were strengthened, confirmed. I wonder, can we imagine what it must have been like for the shepherds that night? The awesomeness of all of this, first to hear this word, this unexpected word, and that believing it, and in faith, not knowing where they would find, but finding the very thing that the angel had declared to them. It must have been overwhelming for them. Awesome. Maybe too much to put into words. But they did speak of it. And so that's the third thing. They made known what they had heard, what had been told them about this child. They couldn't keep quiet about it. They couldn't keep quiet about what they had heard from the skies and then what they had seen with their eyes. Their hearts were overflowing with it. And do we not find the same thing still today when people believe and are so overcome with the truth of the gospel and the joy and wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ that their faith bubbles over into words? When you're full of good news, you got to tell somebody. You've got to tell people. And that's what the shepherds did. Now, again, we don't find a specific command to them that they are supposed to do this. But how odd, how strange it would be if they had found Mary and Joseph and the Lord Jesus exactly like the angel had declared to them, and after having seen that heavenly army chanting the victory shout. And they didn't sing, by the way. They shouted out, "Glory to God in the highest." Wouldn't it have been odd if they had seen all of this and Mary and Joseph and then simply gone back and kept their mouths shut and life just went on as normal? How strange that would have been. God wants us to speak of our faith. We find that again and again in the scriptures. He wants us to speak of what he has done for us. And so we find that the shepherds begin to do the work of God by preaching. The shepherds. I'll have a word or two more to say about shepherds, but this unlikely people group within Israeli society at the time, this group of people, shepherds who were so maligned, this group of people began to preach the word of God. Not unlike the uneducated disciples that Jesus accumulated unto himself. These uneducated men, they began to preach, to proclaim the word of God, the very word of God that they had heard that night, spreading the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ, spreading the good news about the Messiah, the Christ, the birth of the Messiah. And no doubt they would have told others later on as well. And of course we need to think of ourselves in this regard. Do we speak of what we have heard and believed? The thing about shepherds is that they believed. And they were confirmed in their faith. And now their faith would not be kept silent. Faith will not be kept silent. And what a joyful message to speak of to others. What a wonderful thing to be able to speak of this, of the Christ, the Savior of the world. To be able to speak to others of sins forgiven. My sins have been forgiven. Of eternal life. I'm not afraid of death anymore because I know that when I die, I go to be with the Lord. Of salvation from a certain death in hell. And the shepherds, how could they remain silent considering what they had heard and seen? Something would be dreadfully wrong if they had simply remained silent. And is that not true as well for all of us? And then fourth, the shepherds returned. We read in verse 20, they returned. It doesn't say that, but it says they returned. So we're assuming they returned to their flocks. They left Bethlehem. They went back to their flocks. They went back to their life. They went back to their problems, whatever they were. And they went back to their low station in life. But they returned, we read, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. You know, in one way, for the shepherds, nothing had changed. They were still shepherds. Life for them as shepherds continued as usual. Their flocks were still waiting for them in the field. They still had the same frustrations that they had before, the same dangers, the same stigma as before. They were still shepherds. And shepherds in Israel at that particular time were of such a low station in Jewish society that they were not allowed to testify in a court of law. Their testimony was considered to be unreliable. They were not quite lepers, but almost. And this in spite of the fact that King David, their most revered king of Israel, was himself a shepherd and came from shepherding flocks. And that the Messiah himself calls himself a shepherd. I am the good shepherd. But that would come later. They were shepherds still. In spite of everything, their life didn't change. But on the other hand, everything had changed. They returned glorifying and praising God. Why? For all that was revealed to them, for the faith that they had been given, for the hope that they had been given in this baby. This baby was the Savior. It was their Savior. This baby was the one who would save them from all their sins and from all of sin's miserable consequences. Their life, as much as it was the same outwardly, was not the same anymore. They had new life. And it is not the same true for us and for all believers. We go to our jobs. We go to our schools, to our studies. We do the grocery shopping. We have to put up with the traffic. We have to pay the bills. They just keep coming. We can become irritated with our loved ones, even at Christmas time. We get sick. It's the grind of life. And yet, we return to all of this, I hope, glorifying and praising God for all that we have heard today. Isn't it? It ought to be. How can we not go back to the humdrum of life, praising God for all of this? That he has made known to us the way of salvation, of forgiveness of sins, by faith in Jesus, of new life, eternal life in Christ, of hope for a life without pain and sorrow, disappointment and sickness, for all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. How did the shepherds respond to the good news? They believed, and they put legs to their faith. They went and saw. They searched in faith and found. They spoke of what they had heard, and they returned to their lives with joy in their hearts and praising God. And us, how are we to respond? Well, is it not the same? The circumstances are different, but the actions are the same. To believe that in what we have heard, and to reach out and embrace that which God has offers us in Christ, to put legs to our faith, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, to speak to others of what we have heard and seen in our own lives, and to return to our lives with praise, glorifying God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for these shepherds that you did reveal to them the coming of the Christ child, and for what we can learn from what the shepherds did and how you worked in their lives, is that we can model our lives after what they did. Lord, we pray that we may be as they were, believing and embracing the word, putting legs to our faith, praising you and telling others And in our lives, whatever our lives are, praising and glorifying you. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.